from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now that the show has begun? Everyone is in a flap and almost anything can happen.
Yes, with Joy Nichols, Dick Benton, and Professor Jimmy Edwards together again, almost anything can happen and presumably will. Moreover, we've found Wally Peaton, Alan Dean, and Keynotes among those present, and Frank Cantell has brought the augmented review orchestra along. So if you've got half an hour that's more or less clear,
take it from here.
Oh, Joy, what an exhausting 7 days this has been for me. I've been rushing around, filling up forms, seeing accountants, consulting my bank. Honestly, I haven't had such an exciting week since I was on tour with Ivy Benson's band.
I noticed that, Jimmy. You've been busier than Hutch's hanky. What's it all about?
It's a momentous step. I've insured my moustache.
Oh, Jimmy, what a waste of money.
Well, I can't say I care for your response, Joy. I'm sure I wouldn't take that attitude if you wore a moustache.
Well, Jimmy, in that case, don't let it come between us. You go ahead and insure it.
No, I've already done so. I've taken out a policy covering it against theft, fire, flood, third-party risk, and Colorado beetle. You know, Sam Costner is livid.
I see your point now. Professor Jimmy Edwards without a moustache is like a ham without a salad.
Yes, I don't think that's a very happy comparison. Anyway, the snag is that the insurance people will only let me have special terms if I can persuade Bentley to take out a policy as well.
Well, I'll help you persuade Dick. He should need insurance. He's not as young as he was. Did you notice how many candles there were on his last birthday cake?
Joy, I heard that remark. There were 23 candles on the cake, and that's all. It just so happens that they were in the shape of a question mark.
Oh, Dick. Here you are. You know, Jimmy thinks you ought to take out an insurance policy.
Yes, Bentley, I can offer you special terms on this policy. It's quite simple. You invest £50 at 2.5% for 100 years.
Well, that's a long time. Will my interest mount up?
Dick, after 100 years, you'll have lost interest entirely.
Not at all. It just means that you'll have nearly £60 to play with when you reach the age of 152.
Boy, I'll really live then. But what about before that?
Well, Dick, the money can also come in handy if there's an accident. Something unexpected may happen to you, like
getting a lot.
I mean, I mean, you could dislocate your neck.
Yes, that might get a lot.
You can't tell, Bentley. Danger lurks everywhere. Remember when you went out fishing and a mackerel pulled you into the water?
Oh, Dick, you are a weakling. Fancy letting a mackerel pull you out of the boat.
Oh, it wasn't my fault. The worm was helping him.
Gently, Bentley. I don't want to hurry you into this insurance. It's your own money. It's your own future. So you must make your own decision entirely uninfluenced by me.
Jimmy, take your hands off my throat. All right, I'll sign. There. Now, what do I get if I twist my knee?
Well, at the very least, a mention in the much binding verses. Now, I must give this to my insurance runner, Wallace Eaton. Wall?
Oh, thanks, Jim. I knew you'd do it. Always was a smart boy, old Jim. Very proud of Jim in the building.
Of course, you grew up with Jimmy, didn't you, Wallace?
Oh, yes. His ma used to send him round to stay with us whenever his room was being fumigated. I saw your ma this morning, Jim.
I'm sure the mater wasn't in the least interested.
Oh, yes, she was. Raised her cat to me and all. We had a nice talk about the old days. She was saying she always reckoned you'd make a go of it with that Florrie Shuttle.
What a ghastly name. I've never heard of a Florrie Shuttle, and I'm not at all sure of that expression, make a go of it.
Was this Florrie Shuttle Jimmy's girlfriend?
Girlfriend? They was inseparable, like Punch and Judy. Old Jim was always bringing her little tiny bottles of smelly stuff to give her a bit of class.
What was it? Perfume?
No, carbolic. And you know, for years, Florrie's been carrying round a little photo of Jim in her cameo. And now she's lost it, Jim. lost your little photo.
Well, what did she expect me to do about it?
She says, will you lie down on a cushion and have it taken again?
Keynotes. Today, proceeding with our series Facts of Type, we turn to the survey on education. All our big educational establishments are very proud of their school song, but what of the small schools? Surely they should have a school song. We went into the question with three old students of Mrs. Cunningham's Secretarial School for Shorthand and Bookkeeping.
Hurrah! For all those happy days! At Mrs. Cunningham's Secretary School for Shorthand and Bookkeeping. Hurrah! For all the hours that we spend at Mrs. Cunningham's Secretary School for Shorthand and Bookkeeping.
Sing about the glorious of you, reach 50 words a minute. We always love our alma mater.
Mrs. Cunningham's Secretary School for Shorthand and Bookkeeping. A tenor a term.
Among the latest aids to education are the evening classes where adults may augment their knowledge. Of course, for the teacher, it's a refreshing experience to cope with adult pupils.
Randall, you haven't done your homework again. I don't know what's come over you this term. What do you do in your spare time? Well, it's no laughing matter. Your geometry is a disgrace. Aren't you at all familiar with Pythagoras?
No, I don't think I've had the pleasure. I only go out with Jill, but he's one of those that needs watching all the time, I'm glad to say. And if you so much as think...
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I quite understand. So Gilbert is a student as well. Is he taking the same course this term?
Oh, yes, same as always. Gets rid of Mum, turns down the wireless, combs back his quip, and then...
It's quite right. But both of you are neglecting your geometry homework. Now, last night, you had a problem.
Oh, not Arthur, I didn't. What with Mum due any minute and Gilbert whispering, I'd like to get you on a slow bus to Chingford all the...
Miss Arundel, I mean a geometrical problem. It strikes me that it would be far better for both your studies if Gilbert came round after his homework.
Silly, that's just what he does.
Today, popular education is greater than ever before. It is interesting to note how all the news of modern scientific development is greeted with avid interest.
Here, Alf, ever much about with this here nuclear fission?
Well, I've been fishing, but I never caught none of them.
Now, bloke was talking about it in the pub the other night. Here, how long do you think it takes the light from the sun to get here? 24 hours.
Takes its time, doesn't it, Harry? The same with everything these days. I bet it had got here quicker before the war.
No, Alf, no, it's marvellous. It's 93 million miles from the sun to the earth. It only takes 24 hours.
Well, I don't see what's so marvellous.
Why not?
Well, it's downhill all the way, ain't it?
Education has even spread to domestic subjects. The man about the house can now learn the finer points of cooking and domestic science from the young lady demonstrators sent out by the Ministry of Food. These homely lectures have been received with enthusiasm by even the most rugged he-men.
Oh, Mavis. Since I met you, something's come over my Yorkshire pud. Formerly, it would lay on the chest like a death chart. How shall I ever forget our first meeting? We were introduced by Dr. Edie Summerskill, looking as if Marge wouldn't melt in her mouth. And, Mavis, you look so provocative, sifting flour through your black net gloves and sucking a pickled onion. I remember our glances crossed. There was an electric moment. You smiled and Alf shot the pickled onion. Then I picked it up off the floor, dusted it, wiped it gallantly on my tie, and so romance was born. Oh, Mavis, that first kiss, that first careless ecstasy when your lips met mine, I felt a lump in my throat. It was that onion again.
Perhaps films constitute the most far-reaching form of education. Those historical films in which Hollywood specializes are particularly valuable as every historical detail is carefully checked for absolute accuracy.
What child could fail to learn much of England's glorious cultural traditions from that great film of the love of William Wordsworth, the poet, for Charlotte Bronte, the novelist, in The Bronte Story? Remember it?
Forsooth, Bill, I can't marry you. I've got my career. I'm a big name down here in London, Middlesex.
Sure, Charlotte, but I got a career, too. My lyrics are doing swell. I'm working on an idea about daffodils now. It's a Lulu. I wandered lonely as a cloud.
Bill, that's not commercial. Look at Charlie Dickens. He's big time now with his latest stuff. Oliver Copperfield and Nicholas's Expectations.
Lottie, you got to have faith in me, you got to. Go, blimey, we're both from the small time. You from Wuthering Heights and me from that one-horse lake district.
Bill, I gotta tell you. I gotta. There's somebody else.
No. Dost thou mean Chopin, that crazy piano player?
Yep, Wordsworth, it is I, Fred Chopin. Lottie, I'm dedicating my next number to you. Listen. And then the sax is coming in 4/4, medium bounce tempo.
Oh, gee, Fred. Gee, Fred, you've gotten yourself a hit in face.
If that's the case, I gotta catch the next train back to little old Westmoreland. I gotta. I'll send a wire to Thackeray. Take me right back to the track, Zach.
Bennett, farewell, Bill and Fred. You got your tunes and your lyrics. Me, I gotta write more books. I gotta. More books all the time, more books. Beat my brains out for literature. But posterity will one day write in large letters the name of the Bronte sisters.
The Bronte sisters?
Yeah, Patty, Laverne, and Maxine.
I've paid the cab and found the carriage.
Hit the porter?
Yes, dear.
Check the luggage?
Uh-huh. Don't think I've forgotten anything.
Well, I've ordered dinner in the diner.
Good weather's fine and getting finer.
Hear the whistle blow. Off we go. Here we are on the 5:45. You and I on the 5:45.
What a wonderful day.
We're at last on our way.
And we won't be disturbed.
This compartment is reserved. Do you mind if I say that you're grand?
I'll
confess, this is just as I planned.
I knew one day we'd be together, you and I, on the 5:45.
Well, here we are. Didn't think we'd make it.
Neither did I. Did you have to stop at that bookstore?
Well, I wanted to get a copy of...
Darling, who wants to read anyway? Come and sit in this corner. Oh, that's better. Now, how about a kiss?
Oh, darling, don't. Someone might come in.
You won't be disturbed.
Greetings, Centrifuge.
God, there keeps the room for one more in here.
I'm sorry, Edward.
This compartment is reserved.
Do you mind if I say that you're grand?
I'll confess, this is just as I planned.
I knew one day we'd be together, you and I on the bus.
Darling.
Yes.
Have you got the ticket?
The ticket. The ticket.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Dick, never mind. We're together
on the 5:45.
Thank you, Miss Nichols. The other voice you heard singing was Bentley, who is a trained tenor. Yes, trained by Bertram Mills. I expect you also heard an interpolation from me which went something like this. Greetings, gentlefolk. So we come to my program notes on this week's film, which is all about trout, a subject on which I'm an expert. Matter of fact, I went into a restaurant this morning and ordered a whole meal in French. The waiter was astounded. Well, it was a Chinese restaurant. To get the correct details for our film, Bentley and I crossed the channel, and as Bentley had never been in Paris before, I pointed out several little things I remembered from my student days. Of course, most of them are married now, and one or two of them... Yes, and Bentley showed a remarkable knowledge of the French language. As soon as he got there, he said, moi aussi, which he thinks means I'm an Australian. I don't think it does, actually. Accommodation over there is very difficult, of course. And our room had no bath, which meant that Bentley had to traipse down to the River Seine every morning to sail his rubber duck. However, we achieved our purpose of inspecting the French theatres. At the Comédie Française, they have nothing on the Old Vic. At the Opéra Comique, they have nothing on Sadler's Wells. At the Folies Bergère, they just have nothing on... nothing but a curtain and a bare stage. So we... rather tricky. So we come to our overture, which is played by Frank Cantell and the Hot Club de Stoke Newington. They will play a piece specially written by Vaughan Williams to encourage the novelist Baroness Orczy when she was writing the story of our film. The piece is entitled, Orczy, Keep Your Tail Up. So over to you, gentlemen, please.
Tite Films proudly present a swashbuckling tale of the French Revolution. The dutiful Countess is played by Miss Joy Nichols, who was the runner-up in the search for a new Dick Barton. Miss Nichols plays Milady Marguerite, the toast of France.
Ah, Lady Marguerite, je t'adore, je t'aime. What have you to say to that?
Just up. This reign of terror has taken all my family. On Friday, my aunt went. She was très charmant. Last Saturday, my uncle left. He was Jean Charmant.
After La Belle Dame, we have Le Dame Belle. In a star role comes Master Richard Bentley, who did so well in the recent National Film Awards. He was the man Lassie would most like to come home to. He plays the dandified English milord, the mysterious Sir Percy.
Upon my word, there's a thing. They seek him here, they seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. One day in England, the next day gone. Is he a bad boy, or is he bald?
The villain is played by Professor Jimmy Edwards, who caused such a commotion in the small back room. He was locked in it from Monday to Saturday, and nobody knew he was there. He plays the arch fiend of the revolution, Citizen Chauvelin.
Vive la Révolution! Hurrah for Murat! Long live the great tradition of France! Liberté! Égalité! Monsieur Edigré! Every day you may see the old women sitting around the tambril knitting bobby socks. We call them the guillotine-agers.
So to our film. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Sir Percy Bentley, the Scarlet Pimple. Or once a jolly gag man. The scene is a dungeon at the Bastille, full of aristocrats awaiting their turn for the guillotine.
Hello, my trembling aristo. Who is the next candidate for Madame la Gelatine? Step forward, Vicomte Jacques de Lach de Crach de Bach de Montsacrolia. Report to the tumbril with the unexpired portion of your day's ration.
Yes, I. Farewell, Milady Marguerite. I go to my doom, but have no fear. My head will be held high.
But you won't be the guy holding it. Quel malheur! Who is next?
You will all get your turn, never fear. Last night it was Sidney Carton. This morning his big brother, Sidney Buck. Now it is you.
Oh, no, Citizen Chauvelin. I will cheat you yet. Sir Percy Bentley will come in disguise and save me. Any of these drunkards in the corner may be Sir Percy in disguise.
Ah, you can't make a Sir Percy out of a South here.
He will come. See, I have a note here written in his life's blood. It says, Dear Marge. Then it goes on in pencil. It says, Dear Marge, I seen in the papers you was in prison. So am I. It's a small world, ain't it? Love, sir.
Sacré nom de Jean Sablon. Hold that impudent Anglais. Double the sentries. Lock the gates. Guard the arsenal. Hack the stairs. Jailer.
Oui.
Fermez les fenêtres et plaquez les soldats en avant de la Bastille.
Oui.
Alors, cherchez tous les clés et dites-moi s'il se passe quelque chose d'étrange.
Oui.
C'est à vous de garder tous les environs et si vous oubliez mes ordres, on va vous couper la tête tout de suite.
Oui. I bet I can keep this up longer than you can.
Too sure you can. One moment, Jailer. There is something strange about you. You talk French with a trace of accent.
You talk accent with a trace of French.
Take care, mon enfant. And keep our eyes open for this Sir Percy Bentley. I must go to see that the executioners are finished before midday. I always chop early to avoid the rush.
Oh, what am I to do? Who's that? What do you want, monsieur?
No. I'm not that at all. I am your friend. I'll take off these filthy jailer's clothes, whip this mask away, and now, see who I am?
Oh, Miss Sangette!
No. I am Sir Thirst, the Scarlet Pimple. Listen, you know what I have come here for?
May we?
Yes, we may. But, word in your pigtail. Let's escape first. Tomorrow, when the tumbril comes for you, I shall be lurking near in a different disguise. Listen carefully. I'll draw up your itinerary.
Has that thing slipped again? I bought it at the French naval port. It's either Toulon or Toulouse.
Be no heed. After your rescue, we'll ride furiously to Dieppe.
Dieppe in Normandy?
No, Dieppe in the heart of Texas. Farewell, mademoiselle. When you're in the tumbril tomorrow, look out for my whistle.
How will I know your whistle?
Well, it's double-breasted blue with chalk stripes. Till tomorrow!
Mm-hmm.
Next day, I accompanied my Lady Marguerite in the tumbril. I was taking no chances with that Scarlet Pimple. The rabble lined the route to the gelatine, waving their fists and shouting epithets.
Epithet,
lovely
sweet, epithet.
Ah, Lady Marguerite, only another 200 meters to go.
Don't forget Bentley. I am sure he will turn up in some quaint disguise.
Bentley, Bentley. Please pass Father down the tumbril.
Oh, it isn't Father, it's Citizen Chauvelin. But who are you?
Sir Percy Bentley, star of stage, screen, and radio.
The Scarlet Pimple, ma foi, parbleu, coup de grâce, and similar expressions. At last we meet pig, dog, swine, cow, hog,
sheep,
ox.
Could we start on birds now? My lady, get ready to jump off and gallop to the coast. It's a 10-day ride, so you'd better take sandwiches.
Wait a moment. Have you forgotten me?
You can get your own sandwiches. Don't make a move, Chauvelin. I have something here which will keep you quiet until we are both far away. Take that.
Oh!
And that.
Ah!
And that.
Ooh.
There. That should keep you busy.
Oui, merci, monsieur. French postcard.
We arrived at the coast 3 days later after a hard gallop. We could have made it in one day if we'd only had horses. We pulled up at the tavern. Outside there was a sign. C'est la guerre. That is French for ask for la guerre. Here we rested.
My lady, we must wait at this tavern until the boat arrives with my two henchmen. Sir Andrew Poop, with two small F's, and Sir Tony Todd, with two small T's.
Two small T's?
Two small T's coming up.
Thank you. And for your supper, my lady, can I get you something? A pair of tea?
Oh, thank you. I already have a pair. just think, in a short while I shall be in England.
Let us drink to it, to England. This absence tastes funny. Waiter, what has happened in my absence?
Oh, help! Waiter, there's a little dope in that drink.
And now there's a little drink in that dope.
Upon horror, you're not a waiter, you're Chauvelin.
Yes, I arrived here before you. I rode pell-mell. That's one of those French racehorses. And now your precious Bentley is unable to move the muscle.
That's what I fooled you, Chauvelin. I never had it in the first place.
The drink?
No, the muscle. I strike a bargain. Let Marguerite go, Chauvelin. And I, the Scarlet Pimple, will accompany you back to Paris.
Oh, no, you cannot do this for me.
I must, my lady. Chauvelin has in his keeping a handful of French beauties that I must take back to England.
You mean those aristocrats?
No, those postcards.
Vive la!
Frank Cantell and the Augmented Review Orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script in a weekend, and Charles Maxwell produced it in a week moment. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in again next week, and...